I'm going to read this morning. It's from Luke chapter 2, and it's verses 43, no, 42, I can't say it, verses 41 to 52. And it's about the incident when Jesus was about 12 years old, and he went to Jerusalem with his family to celebrate the Passover. Every year, it's Luke 2, and it's verses 41 to 52. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, that's brilliant. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why are you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men. Wow, that was a scary event for them. Many families have their traditions and ways of celebrating certain festivals and events. Sometimes they involve travel to a special place to celebrate together with friends, extended family, and maybe others who are followers or believers, or for whom the celebration is an important occasion. Our family likes to travel for various celebrations. We spent part of the Christmas season celebrating with family in Bromley. It was a happy event with children, parents and grandparents all together sharing food, drink, exchanging gifts and enjoying conversation and celebration. Another important celebration for our family is the Greenbelt Festival, which we travel to for some years. It's a chance to meet with like-minded people, to enjoy listening to Christian and other speakers, to hear live music of a variety of types, to watch films and enjoy the atmosphere and conversation with good friends we meet up with. Our daughter is now 12, and it is at the stage of life when we are slowly beginning to give her a little more independence. At Greenbelt there are a range of activities for both adults and children. And obviously, what might appeal to an 11-year-old is not necessarily going to be exciting for an adult, and definitely vice versa. And one morning, we all wanted to go and do different things. We knew that Bethany wouldn't leave the site, and we had let her go and do her own thing for a while. She had her phone with her, so we knew she'd be safe. Halfway through the seminar I was listening to, I had a phone call from her, but was unable to answer my phone before it stopped ringing. I tried to call her back, but she'd switched it off after making her phone call, as she has a habit of doing. I tried to call Howard, but his phone was switched off too. I wondered what she wanted. Was she okay? Was she lost? She has diabetes. Has she lost her blood monitoring equipment? Or was she unwell? Was she safe? I spent the next half hour deliberately, frantically looking all round the festival, trying to find her and making continuous calls to her phone, which remained off, as did Howard's. I prayed for God to help me and for her to be safe, and eventually I found her. There she was, sitting under a tree, wearing a flowery tiara she'd bought from one of the stalls and drinking a bottle of cola. Of course she was fine, just ringing to see if I could give her some extra money to buy a T-shirt she liked. Obviously, I was relieved to find her, and not particularly surprised to discover why she had been trying to phone me. Apart from the details of his birth, we don't know a great deal about the childhood of Jesus. In fact, the only other incident that the Gospel writers mentioned was the incident in our reading from Luke's Gospel, where the young Jesus, about 12 years old, goes missing. And it wasn't just his parents couldn't find him in the crowds for half an hour or so. This was a whole 3 days before they became concerned. After frantic search through the big party of travellers, they retraced their footsteps all the way back to Jerusalem and into the temple. And there they found their missing son. Unlike my daughter, however, he was doing something a lot more important than sitting under a tree swigging cola. There he is, sitting in the temple of all places and having an in-depth conversation with the religious teachers. Wow. Jesus tells us he was listening and answering questions, and that the teachers were amazed at his understanding and wise answers. Like any concerned parents, Mary and Joseph rush in with the standard comments and questions that any parents would have when they finally found their lost child, with that mixture of relief and anxiety. You can imagine them, can't you? What on earth do you think you're doing? Where have you been all this time? Your father and I have been worried sick. Didn't you know we'd be worried about you? Are you all right? And if it was in our times, they'd probably be trying to sue the temple as well. The young Jesus spoke words which would have baffled them even more. Why do you look for me? Didn't you know I would be in my father's house? To him it all seems to make perfect sense, and there is no cause for alarm. I often wonder about this. Is it just Mary and Joseph not realising? Oh yes, silly us, the virgin birth, the angel, the strange gifts from those eastern wise guys. Yet we should have known not to worry. Or was Jesus, being Jesus and prioritising as he would, but also, like my daughter, a typical 12-year-old, getting absorbed in something interesting, getting engrossed in what is happening, and not thinking about his parents and the adult practicalities of life? It's an interesting question, but not as important as what was he doing in the temple or what happened after he returned to Nazareth. As a parent, and also as a youth leader, I love it when either my own child or one of the other Christian young people wants to discuss something about the Bible or the faith. I love it when their questions show they are interested and that these issues are important to them, or that they are really thinking about their faith or about what Jesus meant by something he said. Sometimes their conversations can show signs of spiritual growth and understanding. It can be really encouraging to see this kind of growth and to know that our prayers and our hopes for the future and for our children in our care are being realised. There is hope and a strong sense of hope that they will carry on following Jesus and living out the faith in which they have been raised. This must be how those teachers in the temple must have felt when the young Jesus joined in with them. They probably envisaged him as a future priest or rabbi and would have been so excited to have been able to share their knowledge and insight with him. I suspect they may well have learned a thing or two or been inspired or challenged by him too. No doubt this visit would have inspired and encouraged them no end. One thing strikes me from this passage, and that is how these teachers and leaders were open and inclusive to Jesus by allowing him to join in with them. They could have shooed him away. We've got important things to do. Get that child out of here. But they didn't. They allowed him to join them for what was probably one of the most significant religious discussions they would ever have. It's very important that we make time for the children and the young people in our churches. As Jesus was later to say, whoever welcomes these little ones in my name welcomes me. If we welcome and include them, we are giving the message that they are of value, they are important, their views are worth listening to. They will want to continue being part of the church, and in time we will learn from them too. And even now we will learn from them too. I wonder what it was that drew Jesus on that occasion. As a young Jew, he would have been brought up in that faith. We already know that his family took their faith seriously, travelling the long journey to Jerusalem each year to observe the Passover celebrations, for example. It wasn't a quick, easy by journey by car, like us driving up to London, for example. It would have taken days. As a Jewish family, they would have celebrated other great festivals and would also have known their scriptures well and followed the law, applying it in their everyday lives. So here we have this enthusiastic young person, keen to discuss the faith and scriptures with the teachers of the faith. I wonder if for him it was a bit like it is for us. If we go to a talk or an event led by a Christian who inspires us and we want to know more, perhaps to clarify something or to develop our understanding or ideas or ask for advice. So we hang around afterwards, hoping they might have time for a one-to-one conversation so we can take our thinking or ideas one step further or ask what they meant by something. Perhaps it was the temple itself that inspired Jesus. It certainly would have been a special place and a focal place for him as the family travelled there every year. Believers of all faiths have their special places, places of pilgrimage where they go to pray. For me, Chichester Cathedral is a special place, which I have visited a few times, and always find a sense of peace and God's presence. Perhaps the young Jesus wanted a few more moments in that special place before returning home. After all, he would not be returning there for another year. I wonder if there was, because he was Jesus, a feeling of familiarity and a sense of belonging. This was, after all, the place where God was believed to be, in the Holy of Holies, in the depths of the temple, where only the high priest was allowed to go once a year. The Gospels don't really give us any information about that, or about how Jesus really knew who he was, or what God had put him there to do. But it's possible he may have known, even at that point, or perhaps the realization grew slowly over his years there. Maybe his conversations with these teachers on this occasion were an important part of his realization. We will never know. Not this side of heaven, anyway. But what we can guess is that he must have been pretty aware of the scriptures to have engaged in such deep and thought-provoking discussion with them. As his followers, there is something we can learn here. We too need to get to know our faith well, attending church as often as possible and engaging in our own reading of the scriptures. I don't know if many of you watch EastEnders, but some of you will be familiar with the character Dot Cotton. She has quite strong views on some issues and will often quote a Bible verse to some of the other characters to comfort or rebuke them at various times. Sometimes her verses are more appropriate to the occasion than others. I used to be very impressed years ago by people who could remember Bible verses in that way. And indeed, we used to have a lady who lived in a place that we lived before we came here, who did such a thing herself. "Wow, she knows her Bible well," I said to Howard. "Not really," he said. "She only knows these 6 verses, which she will quote on any and all occasions." That really got me thinking. He said, if you get her on any other subject or any other part of the Bible, she hasn't got a clue. And that really made me think. It had an impact on me and my thinking, and I began to value reading larger chunks of the Bible, such as a whole paragraph or a chapter or even a whole book over a period of time, grasping the gist or concept and understanding the background to it. If we bear these things in mind, we can have a much better chance of understanding what it might mean now and for us. But we do have to be careful. As a young Christian, I had a friend called Mandy. Mandy knew quite a few people who were Christians and was exploring the faith herself. Her exploration took her along to many meetings and events, but as far as she was concerned, there was one ginormous hurdle in the way of her actually becoming a Christian herself. Mandy was unable to read, yet everywhere she went, there seemed to be somebody telling her it was important to read the Bible. She spent several months fretting about this and worrying about it. But eventually we managed to track down at one event a Christian leader who had not been able to read for many years. Between us we managed to convince Mandy that God would accept her and welcome her just as she was and enable her to be a believer without reading. Mandy did become a Christian and learned much over the years by attending church and a particular Christian holiday each year, as well as accumulating and listening to a vast collection of Christian music. As important as the Bible is to our faith, one well-known Christian once said, I can't remember who it was, unfortunately, but it was definitely said by somebody quite well-known, "We worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not Father, Son, and Holy Scriptures." As important as it is to engage with Scripture as best we can, to the best of our ability, we have to balance our knowledge with our relationship with Jesus. Without relationship, it becomes about words on a page or a page on a website. The Bible is really important, but if we have the words alone, but do not understand the compassion and self-sacrificing love of Jesus, we will not be able to put our faith into practice in the way he intended. It is about practicing what we believe. Just as Jesus' mother Mary did before he was born, we need to be aware and obedient, asking, what does he want me to do? How can I put this being a Christian thing into practice? We read that after this incident at the temple as a boy, Jesus returned to Nazareth with his family, obeyed his parents, and continued to learn more and more. Then years later, just before he began his public ministry, he was baptized by John in the River Jordan. Yes, he was the Son of God. Yes, he was without sin. Right from that point, he became one of us, identifying with the people by going down into the dirty, muddy water, sharing their baptism and their humanity. Later on, as Jesus and the disciples were made going to the temple a priority, they went there for prayer, and the majority of the time was spent outside that environment, in the everyday world, coming into contact with all sorts of people. Again, there is something here for us to learn. And I'm thankful to God for the place he has put my family and I in. It is exciting to be part of these three churches at the heart of the community in Broadfield. And here we are, we've got, even in this hall, we have church on Sunday morning and church at the other end as well. And throughout the week, we've got different things going on that we are involved in, that God is enabling us to do, so that people who are Christians and people who are not coming to who are not Christians are coming together on a daily basis in this place. And I thank God for that, that we're not locked up in a church in an inaccessible way that nobody wants to go into, or that we're not out in a big warehouse somewhere that people have to drive to if they want to be part of it. We're part of a community in which we can serve. And I thank God for that. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for all we can learn from your word and example. We thank you for the priorities that you demonstrate to us, and how we sometimes need to stop everything and stop and ask questions and read, and that the questions and the discussions are an important part of our growing in faith. Please help us to continue to grow together and to learn more and more of you, but also to develop the relationship as well as our knowledge, so that we will be in touch with what you're really saying to us and how you want us to live out this faith here in Broadfield. Amen.